And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state, this one, the most beautiful state in the nation, Alabama. I'm talking about, the show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Listen, I'm just going to say this. So the topic is heavy, and I'm not trying to be sensationalistic when I describe to you some of the things that are happening, because what I'm about to do is play an audio clip in a moment of an on-site reporter, I believe from a more localized station, and the truth of the matter is, this is real, this is happening, it is still ongoing, but the things that happened over the weekend shock the conscience, and they are hard to listen to. But I will tell you this, folks, we will get through this together, all right? You need to know what's happening, because we are told that we are to be aware of our times, all right? It is unreasonable not to be aware of your times. In order to keep your head on a swivel and do the things you have to do, you have to be keenly aware of your surroundings. And I would say on the world stage, it's good to know what's happening. That being said, we're not going to harp on it or sensationalize it, but we're going to talk about it, because I will not condone the moral equivalency of those right now, like the young Harvard students, 31 different Harvard groups that all banded together and called for Israel's apartheid actions in the Gaza Strip to be denounced and for, you know, in support of Palestine. When what I'm about to play for you is a reporter on the scene who talked about how even the Israeli soldiers were struggling with what they were finding. So, Boomer, you got that clip. Bro, let's go ahead and play it. What I may do, Boom, is kind of long, so I might actually stop you at periods of time and talk about it and then replay some more, okay? All right, go ahead.
David, it's hard to even explain exactly just the mass casualties that happened right here. In fact, the Israeli military says they still don't have a clear number, but I'm talking to some of the soldiers, and they say what they've witnessed as they've been walking through these different houses, these different communities, babies, their heads cut off. That's what they said. Gunned down, families completely gunned down in their beds. You can see some of these soldiers right now comforting each other. Many of them reserves who jumped into action, leaving their own families behind as well, not knowing the sheer horror that they were about to come to. They say they've never experienced anything like this. This is nothing that anyone could have even imagined.
So let me stop right there for a second and remind you guys that when they talk about the the soldiers having to comfort each other, these are real people, all right? And the reservists in Israel, it is very common for someone to have to serve their military duty and remain on a reserve status and be recalled at a moment's notice. Keep in mind, Israel's population is not even twice that of Alabama, all right? So it's not like this is like the United States. I mean, this is a as close-knit as a nation can be. They have lived with a sense of purpose since they were formed in 1948. At the same time, they have lived under the... Imagine if Alabama sat here and every day there was the threat that Tennessee was going to rain rockets down on Alabama, or that Mississippi was going to come in from the side, or at least a sliver of Mississippi was going to come in on the side. That's life right now. And then, oh, by the way, let's go ahead and take northern Georgia, because that's where Syria is in relation to the map for Israel. And just keep in mind, and by the way, just down south, you've got Egypt, which has been a better relationship, but they were at war in our lifetime, in my lifetime. It's, you're talking about being surrounded, and yet what they're seeing right now, and living under threat, and yet what you're seeing right now is Israeli soldiers who are telling the reporters their consciences are shocked. They have never seen anything like this. Keep it going.
Walking through here, baby cribs thrown to the side, doors thrown wide open. Still some Israeli bodies still here, because the fighting in this community just ended just recently. So many of these troops are still going house to house, door to door. It's taken them sometimes 30 minutes, 40 minutes, because many of these houses are also still have grenades in them, booby traps. In fact, as we're trying to get closer to some of these scenes, we're being told, no, get back, from some of these Israeli military, because there are still grenades in the area. I want us to keep walking through, continue to kind kind of see the destruction that's happening on the ground here. Even something as simple as a soccer net just left to the side here as people were with their families playing. I see in the distance more bodies being covered, all the while as they're covering these Israeli bodies trying to evacuate everyone else from the territory, taking all of the casualties out of here. It's also littered with the bodies of terrorists. So we're hearing from one of the lead commanders here. It was anywhere from maybe 70 armed terrorists who made their way here from the Gaza border fence, which is less than a quarter of a mile away. And as I said, the atrocities that they committed, violence with guns, with grenades, with knives, targeting these innocent civilians inside their homes. For the soldiers here, it's a very, very difficult scene for them as well. As I said, leaving their hands.
Go ahead and cut it. I think you get the point. That's reporting on the scene. That's someone who's there. You can hear her own voice shaking. So here's the thing. Why am I doing this right now? What I want to talk about is moral equivalency. So a story here from Town Hall talks about the fact that what you just heard described in vivid detail by a reporter on the scene, Town Hall describes it as a national nightmare for Israel. With training and assistance from Iran, something that was, by the way, had to have been, but they came in by air, they had paragliders, for God's sake. They had one music festival where there were hundreds of young Israelis and others, you know, and many Americans who were there celebrating a music festival out on the plains in Israel, and it was an outdoor festival, and you know they camp out on the scene, and the bands play, and all that's kind of, they're partying, and they're having a big time. 260 were massacred there. 260 in one music festival. So why am I going through this in great detail? Because what we're seeing right now is what is perpetrated in the form of evil. There's no military target here. What's the military target? Show me where it is. Oh, was it the babies? They were fighting back, right? Was it the people in their homes? No. Was it the families living peacefully in the kibbutz, you know, where they farmed and lived communally? No. By the way, if you think for a second that Palestinians didn't have opportunities in Israel, you're wrong. The population of Israel is made up of Arabs and Palestinians as much as it is Jews, all right? You've got Palestinians that own homes and businesses. You've got Palestinians. You can go to the markets and the bazaars in Israel, and you can see Palestinians walking through shopping like everybody else. It's Hamas that has stoked the evil and been funded by Iran that has now gone full-on ISIS, where they are now threatening, story here on themessenger.com, they are now threatening today to begin executing hostages. And here's the thing that galls me on this is not just the executions, but the way they describe it. Hamas on Monday threatened to execute Israeli hostages being held in Gaza if Israel continues to conduct airstrikes without warning, saying, quote, any targeting of innocent civilians, let me ask this straight. So if Israel bombs a bunker that Hamas put into an apartment building to use other people as human shields and someone else dies, that's not okay. They'll execute somebody and televise it, they say. Oh, but you guys can come and kill babies in the kibbutz, and that's not the same thing. The moral equivalency here, and don't think it stops there. How about this? You've got right now, here's a piece from the Times of Israel. You see, the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, has Arab language channels where they are promoting and publishing the evacuation routes for civilians. Now listen, I was actually trained in that. As a civil affairs officer, I did both infantry and civil affairs. As a civil affairs officer, I was trained in what was known as displaced civilian operations. And that's basically trying to get civilians off the battlefield area to avoid the collateral damage. And what you do is you set up evacuation routes and you tell them the most likely places where they can go and be safe. And you promote that to the public. Well, that's exactly what Israel is doing. In a speech on Saturday night also, it says Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu told the residents of Gaza, you need to get out now. But Hamas made that very difficult because, see, there's only a few exits from Gaza. One of them would be what's known as the Erez crossing into Israel. which was destroyed by Hamas terrorists on Sunday or Saturday. Oh, okay. The other one is out through the Rafah crossing into Egypt. But Egypt won't let them out. Why would that be? No one's asking. Okay, but then let's talk about moral equivalency. Because right now, here on campuses in the United States and in city squares, for instance, this piece from DailyWire.com. A joint statement from dozens of groups of Harvard University students blamed Israel for the violence and atrocities committed by the deadly terrorist group Hamas in its attacks against the Jewish state. Despite the fact that Hamas committed war crimes, entered civilians' homes, murdered babies, children, women, mothers, fathers, brutalized the victims, the students claim it was all entirely Israel's fault. They say, we, the undersigned student organizations, hold the Israeli regime entirely responsible for all the unfolding violence, and the apartheid regime is the only one to blame, they say. 31 separate Harvard organizations have in some way defined the moral equivalence of what is happening with Palestinian terrorists and thugs with somehow or another just the mere existence of Israel next door. Victor Davis Hanson, I'll end with this for the break. Victor Davis Hanson said this. He said, quote, here we are 78 years after the end of the Holocaust, and once again, thuggish killers dressed in black are pulling Jewish elderly and women and children out of their homes and executing them, throwing their bodies out into the street. But in 1945, we were fighting SS murderers. Now we're sending millions in subsidies to their modern Hamas killer squad counterparts. We, the American people, should demand not one more American cent to these Gestapo and SS killers. Take a break right now. We'll take the break. We'll come right back. We'll cover a little bit more of this. Because, folks, it's not just young skulls full of mush on Ivy League campuses. There are people protesting in the streets of America right now in favor of Palestine. But then, how about certain members of Congress? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We're gonna wrap up this section here on what I'm calling moral equivalency, and that's where people want to conflate two things that don't relate, like one's horrible and one's not, and you want to go ahead and say, well, the one that's not is really just as bad. No, it's not. It's just, let's not pretend that it is. Stop trying to pretend. Like, oh, for instance, another article from the Times of Israel. Chanting 700 pro-Palestinian activists in New York fate the Hamas attack. In other words, they are celebrating by chanting the number that was known at the time of the deaths of Israelis. All right, so they're out there chanting 700, like it's a victory. Like, wow, don't y'all feel good about the number of old people and innocents and babies that you killed? That's awesome. Pro-Palestinian demonstrators, according to the Times of Israel, and it's true, in New York, celebrated Hamas's massive deadly terror attack against Israel as supporters of the Jewish state held rallies to mourn and express their outrage over the slaughter. Several hundred pro-Palestinian demonstrators rallied in the Times Square, waving Palestinian flags and chanting, resistance is justified, globalize the Intifada, smash the settler Zionist state. There were also pro-Israeli demonstrators there. And it says that they were kept apart by police, but there was not like there was about to be a fight. There were some words exchanged. Mostly what it was were things like the pro-Palestinian side pretending that they were crying, like rubbing their eyes and laughing and pointing at the pro-Israel supporters, holding up the number 7 and then making the throat-slitting gesture with their hands as if we got you. Others flashed victory signs. The pro-Palestinian demonstrators, it says, marched from Times Square across Manhattan to a street corner near the Israeli group. The two sides at one point did square off. Hundreds of police and metal barricades separated them as helicopters and drones overhead were keeping watch. It just boggles the mind. How do you feel good about that? I mean, even if I was on the Palestinian side, I could not feel good about the way this went down. If you're trying to win something, how is that? Who was it yesterday? Was it Kareem that called in and said, "What's the end game?" Wasn't it Kareem that said that? I think it was. He said, "What's the end game?" Are they trying to take land? They're not going to take over Israel. So what are they trying to do? They're trying to broaden the conflict. That's what they're trying to do. In the meantime, you got chuckleheads like, oh, I don't know. How about Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib and other members of the squad of Democrat socialists who all are, by the way, very interestingly and tellingly, according to here on Red State, calling for an immediate ceasefire, a de-escalation. Why? Why? Why should you stand there in the face of having close to 1,000 of your citizens massacred in their sleep and not be allowed to take action? Don't anybody, by the way, Secretary of State Antony Blinken had to withdraw a tweet that he put out where he called for calm and a cessation of hostilities. Yeah. Red State says, while taking an absolute shameless blame the victim approach to Hamas's capture, rape, and slaughter of innocent Israeli civilians, Representative Rashida Tlaib, arguably the leader of the House's Hamas caucus, still has a Palestinian flag flying outside of her office on Capitol Hill. I believe Ilhan Omar does as well. It was noted that she is still flying that flag proudly in the hallway outside her congressional office, even after reports that Americans were among the murdered in Israel, because somehow or another she finds that to be a moral equivalent to make sure that someone in Congress is supporting the terrorists. Well, no, you don't have to. You actually don't have to. And I don't even bother. I tell you what, I'll just go ahead and mention the fact that I've got an article here from Lindsey Graham. Daily Caller has it just basically saying the congressional squad members need to shut the blank up and that they are a disgrace to the Congress, and I agree. Couple of text messages real quick before we go. I will just take a look here, and Brian from Huntsville squaring me up. He says 100-mile-an-hour tape has more adhesive properties than duct tape originally employed by the Army Air Corps. Thank you, Brian. It is magic. I do know that. You can actually tape a barrel back on a tank with 100-mile-an-hour tape. That's what I've heard. I've just heard it. Rayson from Hawaii. Hey, Rayson, how you doing, buddy? Rayson from Hawaii says, President Biden made this attack on Israel happen. He must be tried for treason. Well, I don't know that's going to happen, but I do believe that Biden's got some answerings to do with regards to the $6 billion that went to Iran 2 weeks before we had the attack. John from Huntsville says, hey, Boomer, why don't you know earlier today I finished a song you wrote. You wrote your song, Boom. He's all in. Oh, I see. You're sending him an answer right there. Okay, I'm looking. Boomer and I have dual screens, so we can both see. Ronald from Rogersville says, Phil, there is a group from Huntsville that was in Gaza as of 2 days ago. I've got in the home fries section, I've got the fact that we do have Alabama church groups that are over there right now. So we will talk about that. Thank you, Ronald. Mike from Harvest says, phone lines are busy. Remember, those Harvard students are on are our future leaders, judges, and diplomats. Yeah, well, there you have it. Mike, if you were trying to call in here, you're welcome to try again after the top of the hour. Marcus from Huntsville says, it's like a group of folks from Tennessee coming down and shooting up the Big Spring Jam in Huntsville. Yeah, picture that. How would that go down? What would you think would happen? Where would the moral equivalency be? Well, the people from Tennessee had a right to come and kill the innocents. No, they really, really, really didn't. Wow. Anyway, listen, we're going to switch gears here in a minute, but you are welcome to call in and comment on that because there's a lot to it, all right? You want to give me your thoughts? You want to tell me if you have any updates on the church groups from Alabama that are still over there? Love to hear it. In the meantime, we'll come back here in a moment, and we'll switch gears and talk about some home fries. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. right-side ruffians out.